We had a letter from a woman who listens to Women of Hope. She asked us if we had any good ideas for cleaning that were cheap and work well and don't pollute the environment. Well, boy, do we have ideas. So please stay with us. You might learn some new tricks.
Welcome to Women of Hope. I'm Carol, and Tammy and I, and for that matter, most women, often share their housework tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. We asked some other friends, and everyone had a suggestion, often the same ideas we heard from other women. So we decided to make that our topic for today.
There were two cleaning materials that we heard about very often. One was vinegar. Ordinary household vinegar, the cheap kind you can get. It cuts through grease. It disinfects surfaces. Vinegar removes mildew, grease, and wax. It removes smells. It cleans windows, brick, and stone. And the other cleaner was sodium bicarbonate, or cooking soda. Washing soda is a stronger version of cooking soda. Sodium bicarbonate is quite cheap to buy in big bags.
We heard about some other common materials, too, like salt, lemon juice, eucalyptus oil, and borax. These were mentioned quite often. Most of these things are likely to be in our homes, or we could buy them cheaply. So let's talk together about how we can use them in our homes. This is probably a good place to remind ourselves of our usual rules. Keep all mixtures in a safe bottle with lids and label them and keep them out of the reach of your children and pets.
I heard a good idea for labeling anything that might make a child sick. They might not be able to read the words like poison or do not drink. So you could draw a picture of a sad face or a child vomiting and tell your children never to touch anything with that picture on it.
Great idea. And another rule is to always test new cleaning fluids on a small area where it won't be obvious, just in case it happens to leave a mark.
Let's start with a general cleaning solution that's good for things like cleaning our kitchen benches and cupboards. Here's a basic recipe for a cleaning solution. Use a quarter cup of cooking soda or baking soda and dissolve it in 1,200 milliliters or 2 pints of water. You can add a squirt of liquid soap if you have to. You can use it in a spray bottle or dip your cleaning cloth in the mixture and use it to clean all surfaces and inside appliances like refrigerators and microwaves. Rinse it off with plain water. It cleans well and gets rid of smells. For tough stains in the kitchen, like tea-stained cups or stained benches, mix cooking soda to a smooth paste with water and just rub it on the stain. When the stain lifts, perhaps after 10 minutes, rinse it off. You can use this paste to clean metal objects too, like steel sinks. If your oven is really dirty and greasy, spread this mixture thickly over the base and the sides of the oven and leave it overnight. In the morning, wipe it out with old newspapers and then wash it out with detergent.
Here's my recipe for a creamy scrubbing mixture. Simply pour about a half a cup of baking soda into a bowl and add enough liquid detergent from the store to make a stiff mixture that you could spread. Scoop the mixture onto a sponge and wash the surface. This is great for cleaning the bathtub because it rinses easily and doesn't leave grit. If you add 1 teaspoon of vegetable glycerin to the mixture, you can store it in a sealed glass jar and it will keep moist. Otherwise, just make as much as you need each time you use it.
How about sprinkle some dry cooking soda, baking soda, on your mats or carpets? Let it sit for a few minutes and then vacuum it or shake it out. The mat will be cleaner and smell fresh. You can also sprinkle dry baking soda in your sports shoes to get rid of smells. Shake it out before you wear them. It's also good in the fridge in a small open container to absorb smells between washing out the refrigerator, of course.
Baking soda also cleans greasy drains. Measure 1/2 cup of baking soda and 1/2 cup vinegar. Pour the soda into the drain first, followed by the vinegar. Oh, it is going to bubble furiously. But leave it for 15 minutes and then flush it through with 1/2 bucket of hot water. Please don't use this method if you have recently used commercial drain cleaners, because there might be a reaction. Drain cleaners are often quite dangerous chemicals, and they're expensive, and they are bad for the environment. So, next time, try soda and vinegar. Also, soda helps to clean a saucepan that you've burnt. Put some hot soapy water in it, add a large spoon of soda, and bring it to a boil, and then leave it to soak. The crust inside the pan should come off very easily. If you add a spoonful of baking soda to your normal soap for washing dishes, it will get the grease off.
Here's a good tip for mopping floors. Put a slosh of vinegar into hot water and a few drops of eucalyptus oil if you have it. I love eucalyptus oil.
And yes, eucalyptus oil is also great for removing tough stains like shoe scuffs on the floor. It gets greasy marks out of clothes. And use a rag with eucalyptus oil to rub the spot gently. Then leave it on for a little while before you wash it in your usual way. Lemon juice is also good for whitening and removing stains on clothes. Rub it on, leave it for a little while, then wash as usual.
I hate cleaning out the rubbish bins, don't you? You line the bin with old newspaper, ferns, or banana leaves each time you empty it. It will become easier to clean. You could use some soda or vinegar and hot water to clean the bin. And then sprinkle 1/2 cup of borax in the bottom to keep bacteria and insects away. If you live in an area with a lot of minerals in the water, you might get lime stains around your taps. Try using a cloth with vinegar to clean them off.
Vinegar is also really good for cleaning windows. Here's the recipe. 3 big spoonsful of vinegar and just 1/2 teaspoon of liquid detergent to 2 cups of water. Put all the ingredients into a spray bottle, shake it up a bit, and spray it on the glass. And then wipe it off with a paper or cloth that doesn't shed fluff.
Vinegar is a great natural and safe cleaner.
It is, but it will strip wax off. Use it to get rid of old wax layers on your floor, but don't use it on waxed furniture or computer screens, as it could remove the protected surfaces. Don't use vinegar on stone countertops either, because it might damage the stone. If you want to use vinegar to clean pots and pans, it's okay on stainless steel and enameled cast iron cookware, but don't use it on aluminum or cast iron, because they will react with it. Vinegar is very safe, but here is a warning. Never mix it with bleach. It will become a dangerous chemical.
You can spray vinegar as a weed killer. Boiling water kills a lot of weeds too, and it's very cheap and won't hurt animals. Just pour it straight out of the kettle. There are many other recipes that we could share. We could go on and on, but you probably won't remember anymore. So can I encourage you to try some of these simple methods? Talk about them with your friends and find out what simple, natural cleaning methods they use. You'll find you save a lot of money compared with buying cleaning products, and you won't be hurting your family or the environment.
Okay, so let's just repeat some of those recipes again, so that you could remember them. The cleaning spray mixture was 1/4 cup of baking soda, 2 pints or 1,200 milliliters of cold water, and a little liquid soap if you have it. The creamy scrubbing mixture was 1/2 cup of soda mixed into a paste with liquid detergent from the store and 1 teaspoon of glycerin that will keep it moist.
And the window cleaner, That was 3 big spoonsful of vinegar and just half a teaspoon of liquid detergent to 2 cups of water.
And my favorite for cleaning drains, a cup of soda and then a cup of vinegar and watch it fizz. And don't forget, flush it down with water after 15 minutes. Have fun with these safe, cheap cleaning tips. Now that we've all swapped our cleaning recipes, let's take a few minutes with a cup of tea to hear from one of our good friends, Fran. She's here again today, and she's going to talk to us about a Christian practice called baptism. Welcome, Fran.
Thank you, Carol. And hello, my friend. I wonder if you have heard of baptism. If you don't come from a Christian tradition, it might seem quite strange. Why do we pour water on someone's head or lower them right into the water with the words, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit"? Why do we think it's important? And when a person from another religion or a family with no belief decides to follow Jesus, why do they face so much opposition when they get baptized? After all, it's just water. So today we'd like to explain what baptism is about. And right away, there is a problem because different Christian groups talk about it in different ways. Some think it's very important to go completely under the water. Some think babies should never be baptized, only adults. But behind all these differences, there are some very important things that we all believe, so we'll focus on these. Let me start with a story from God's Word, the Bible. Jesus Christ was a young man, maybe about 30, and he was not famous yet. But his cousin was quite famous. His name was John, and he was known as John the Baptizer. John was a preacher, a holy man who lived in the desert. He called people to repent from their sins and turn to God to forgive them. And he warned them that God would judge their wrong behavior. Many were baptized as a sign that they were ready to change and to live godly lives. John warned them that they had to truly repent. That meant they needed to change their lives, not just get wet. Jesus went down into the River Jordan to be baptized. God showed John who Jesus really was. John said, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world." John didn't want to baptize him. He knew Jesus was better and more important than he was. But Jesus said he wanted to do the right thing, to be one of the godly people who were on God's side. So John baptized him. As he was praying, the Holy Spirit came down on Jesus in the form of a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my own dear Son. I am pleased with you." So what did baptism mean then? Yes, it was a sign that you were truly sorry for your sins, that you wanted God to forgive you, and you were ready to change your ways. And though Jesus was perfect, God's own Son, he stood with these people. Baptism still means that. It's a sign that you have repented and depend on God. Now here's another story from the time just before Jesus went back to heaven. Jesus was crucified, killed on a cross, and what John said was true. He was like a sacrificial lamb who took away the sins of the world. Then he came back to life, showing that God accepted his sacrifice. Soon the time came for him to go back to heaven, and he had some last words for his followers. He said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age." There is so much in this story, but I want us to notice that Jesus gave this command, that his followers should be baptized and obey his commands, and that he would always be with them, even though they couldn't see him. So obviously it's important as a sign to show that we believe and obey him. Those first disciples did what Jesus said. In the power of God's Holy Spirit, they preached the good news of forgiveness through Jesus, and they baptized everyone who believed. There's another story about the first time the message was preached in public. The preacher, Peter, finished by saying, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." About 3,000 people believed, and they were baptized. Every time people accepted this good news, they were baptized. It marked the beginning of a new life in Jesus and a new identity as one of his followers. These were adults confessing their faith, but sometimes whole households embraced this belief and were baptized together. They seem to have usually been baptized under the water, but the amount of water was not the main thing. The Bible writers taught about baptism. I'll just try to sum up the main things that all Christians believe. All Christians believe in one baptism. Though they perform it and understand it in slightly different ways that reflect different aspects of the Bible's teaching. We all believe it is not a magic ritual. Baptism cannot save us by itself. We need to repent and put our faith in God's grace and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. In baptism, we act, and God also acts. The Bible often uses the word baptism as a short way of talking about the whole event. It speaks of the covenant or agreement of grace God has made with us. This is where God saves us and we repent and put our faith in God's grace when we accept Jesus as our Lord. God forgives us and gives us his Holy Spirit to live within us. So we enter into the Christian life, and we mark it by baptism. It's all one package. As a symbol, what do you think it symbolizes? You might guess that it's a picture of washing us clean. That's quite right, because God does wash away our sins. It's also a picture of dying, being buried and rising again to new life. So we share in the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's described as dying to sin and rising to new life in God. Baptism is also a sign that we are part of the church, which is made up of all Jesus' followers throughout the world. All the things that divide us are set aside by baptism. The Bible says, "All of us, whether Jews or Gentiles, whether slaves or free, have been baptized into the one body by the same Spirit." Baptism is like an initiation, a mark that we belong to this God, this faith, and not another. For many believers, it's a dividing line where they declare that they belong to Jesus Christ and there is no going back. When children are baptized, their parents or guardians bring them into the community of the church and ask for God's blessing. The parents have faith, not the child. So when the child is old enough to understand and have their own faith, they usually confirm it in some way. Some churches have a service of confirmation where the young person confesses their own faith. I hope you understand what I've been saying. It's always complicated to talk about signs and rituals, but the basic message is very clear. The Christian churches baptize people because Jesus did it and commanded it as a sign that we identify with him as our Lord. You might believe in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, but maybe you haven't had a chance to be baptized. God will still accept you. Don't worry that you will be condemned. But if you have the opportunity, think about it very carefully. It can be a very special time when you tell the world that you belong to Jesus Christ and he has saved you.
Thank you, Fran. I was baptized as a young woman. I was 25. I was raised in a church that never talked about baptism of believers, so this was very strange to me. I met with our pastor and a few other believers as he taught us from the Bible much of what Fran talked about today, and I decided myself that I wanted to be baptized to show my friends and others that I was a follower of Jesus Christ. It was a very special day for me.
It sounds like it was. Well, it's time for us to go. Please contact us if you would like to ask any questions or share your story so we can pray with you. You can write to us in care of this station or at TWR Women of Hope. The email address is twrwomenofhope@twr.org. That's TWR Women of Hope at twr.org. Or if you've missed a program or you want to hear it again, visit our website, twrwomenofhope.org, or visit our Facebook page. We do hope that you'll be with us again. We'll leave you with our love and a prayer that God will bless you and your family this week.
Goodbye. See you again.